Start your day at 2 a.m. by 5 a.m.
Krasinski said, if I may say, in a way is unique. I mean, every pass is unique, every pass is different, but it's unique in that, interestingly enough, we have 74 mitzvahs out of the Tariag mitzvahs. There are 74 mitzvahs in this one parsha, which is 12-13% of all the mitzvahs of the Torah are in this one parsha. Since it's out, there's 27 mitzvahs asay, and 47 mitzvahs lois asay, which is 74. 74 mitzvahs of the entire Torah in one parsha. I think someone mentioned it to me. It pertains very, very well to the present day. Mitzvahs is what's pshat mitzvahs. Mitzvahs I say, mitzvahs lo yisaseh. We're given rules, which we have to do, and we have rules, things we must not do, and we have to obey. The idea of listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam is pshat. He's the boss. Elul is the preparation. Kitetzeh is always in Chodesh Elul. Kitetzeh is Elul is a preparation for Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, the whole tafkid of Rosh Hashanah is one thing: shetamlechuni aleichem, to accept Hashem's Bochus kingship over us. In other words, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hamelech. We hear the Chazan the Shachri shouts Hamelech. Well, we're supposed to think Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the Melech, and I'm the Eved, and I obey. That's what it's all about. So the Torah gives us here, Rashi says, his 74 rules. Just listen to what I tell you. Just I'm telling you 74 things. I'm the Melech. It fits in very nicely. The Kisete should be taka here with the so many mitzvahs here in Chodesh El. Before we go into the parsha deeply, there's a beautiful remez from the Chasam Sofer on the mamish on the first pasuk. The first pasuk, when the parsha, the first parsha dealing with when you go to war, Mechemes Rishus, and there's a situation of Ifas Toya, where a man is infatuated and he wants to take this non-Jewish woman as a wife. That's the parsha. We'll come to that lineage in a moment. But the pasuk starts off by saying, when you go out to war against your enemies, oyevecha is plural, and Hashem your God will give him into your hand, and you will take a captive. So obviously there's an immediate grammatical difficulty here. The pasuk starts off and says, when you go out to war, al oyevecha, which is plural, so then it should say, plural, Hashem will give them. When you go out to war against your enemies, Hashem will give them into your hand. It says, ayevecha, plural, unasanoi, Hashem will give him, singular. So, what's the positive want? So the Chazam Sofer says, there's a remez to something else entirely. Who's your biggest enemy? There's only one enemy. The Yetzirah, that's his enemy. You know, there's the famous vault. Remember who it's from, by Hotarecha Kamoicha, that Ma de Aloch Sani, Lechabroch Loi Servit. How do we type that? Ma de Aloch Sani, that which you hate for yourself, Lechabroch Loi Servit. Don't do that to your Chava. That's the normal type. But there's a beautiful way of saying it different. Ma de Aloch Sani, someone who is your enemy. Don't make him your friend. Don't be friendly with your Yetzer Hara. He's no friend of yours. My Aloch Sani, he hates you. Don't make him into your Chava. So your biggest enemy is your Yetzer Hara. There's only one. He's only one. He has many facets. He's got many tools, many tricks. But he's one enemy. On the son of Hashem and the Kech B'Yadach, referring to the Yetzer Hara. Don't the Chasam Sofer like this. We know, famous Chazal. Pasuk in Tehillim Hamad Zayin, Sofer Rosh Ola Tzadik, the Gemara Dashans, and the simple translation of the Pasuk is, the Rosh looks at the Tzadik, Umavakesh Hamisoy, and wants to kill him. Hashem, lo ya'azvenu biyodoy, and Hashem doesn't allow it. Hashem doesn't let the Tzadik fall into the hands of the Rosh. That's the types of the Pasuk. So the Gemara is referring to the Yetzer Hara. Yitzhak Shalom is Gabriel Allah Bechol Yom. every single day, the Yetzirah, he's 24/7, 365-day worker. There's no letter. He wants to be Olam HaMitzvah. The Yetzirah doesn't want you to do a klein aveira. The Yetzirah wants you to do the lot. Obviously, a clever guy. He knows he can't come to a frum yid and say, go and do a terrible aveira. He won't listen. So he does bislach, a bit, and aveira goes aveira until eventually, I say, kach, says the commander, today he tells you to do this little thing wrong. Ulamacha, I say, kach, archib, so if he'll say, lech, aveira zorah, until he reaches the peak and he makes it say, aveira zorah. So the Gemara, without siyata dishmaya, it doesn't go. Hashem, without iloi oizra Hashem, if Hashem doesn't help him, it gainished. So the Ribbono Shel Olam made the Melchemes HaYetzer, v'chokh moso yisborach, that was the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision, to give a person the Yetzer Hara with the Yetzer Tov, and to make it virtually impossible for the person himself to win the battle, only there is an ally. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll give you a hand. And the thing is, you've got to ask Hashem to help you. Okay, so in other words, without Siyata Dishmaya, gainished. With Siyata Dishmaya, you can overcome the Yetzer Hara. So a person might say, look here, I'm on the Yetzer Hara. I've got no chaps. The Ribbono Shel Olam, you made it. You do it for me. You do it. No. You've got to fight. If you wage war against your enemy, if you go out and you get up in the morning and you say, today the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to fight my Yetzer Hara, then on the son of Hashem, Hashem will give him in your hand. But to sit back and let him do it all, does nicht. You have to start the fight, you have to show the willing, and you have to do what you can, and the rest of the Ribbono Shel Olam will do. So there's a remez, so the Chassam Sofer remez in this pasuk. Now that's just Bederach remez. Let's have a look at a difficult Rashi here in the parsha of Yifas Toya. Right, so the parsha, the Chumash tells us like this. The Yidden go to war, Melchemes Rishus, not Melchemes Mitzvah, because Melchemes Mitzvah meaning to destroy Kanani, Chiti, Emoli, the Shiva Amim, because there the halacha is Lo Yischai Kol Neshama. There you're not meant to take captives, there you're meant to wage war, you're meant to kill them all. In Melchemes Mitzvah, the Melchemes Shiva Amimim, the Melchoma to fight the seven nations, according to the Rambam, when they come to Eretz Yisrael and see the Kanani, they give the Kanani three choices. Either get out, a Kanani will be allowed to leave, go away from Eretz Yisrael, vacate, which the Girgashi did, vacate, or be Makabel Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, become a Ger Toshav, throw away Avodah Zarah. And if you won't do either of those two, then we fight you and we kill you. And then the din is, you have to kill them. But if they're Makabel Ghetto Yishov, they don't have to kill them. But when you go to war, that means that they haven't accepted either of the two terms, and they're not prepared to give up their Avodah Zarah, and they're not prepared to leave Eretz Yisrael, then the halacha is, Lo Yischai Kol Neshama, you have to kill them and wipe them out. So, when you go out to war, Zokrashi Mechemes Rishus, this isn't talking about the Shevas Amamim because there's no such thing as taking a captive. You go to war, and amongst the captives, you take captives. And amongst the captives, you see Eshes Yifas Toya. Eshes Yifas Toya. So, we normally translate it, a beautiful woman, a woman of beautiful appearance. Again, grammatically, that's incorrect. Eshes means the wife of. Isha Yifas Toya. If Yifas Toya is an adjective of the word Isha, a beautiful woman, it would say Isha Yifas Toya. So therefore the Torah says Eshes, the Rafa Mibulin, Avila Eshes Ish, but there's another lesson in here. I think those Naim La Torah says, we know, Rashi brings, the minag of the Goyim was that they would bring their women folk to the battlefield and beautify them, put them in beautiful clothes and cosmetics, blah, 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 in order to persuade, in order to create an infatuation of the soldiers to distract them from. So the truth is, in reality, the Gemara says, Afilu Mechoyah, even if this Eshi Yifas Toya is ugly, the pasuk calls her Yifas Toya. What means like this? Bebe, she's ugly. Only she spent a fortune, you've just not spent a fortune on beautiful clothes and on a beautiful hairstyle and all things. So it appears she's beautiful. She's not really beautiful. She's Ishes, which you think is Yefastoya, not Isha Yefastoya, because it doesn't have to be a beautiful woman, a woman who superficially appears to be beautiful. So a person goes to war. Interesting. Who goes to war? We learned a couple of weeks back in the parasha. Somebody, if he just married, well, all the rules that you go home. Another rule is Yore Barachalevo, somebody who's scared. Zop the Gemara, the graph she brings. Ayore me avera shibiyodoi. So who goes to war? Who enlists when they go to war? The tzaddikim, only the tzaddikim, Shelter for an army, the Chofetz Chaim, the Chazonish, the Kiva Eger, not the army, great tzaddikim. They see an issue, Yefastoya, and they get infatuated. I must have her.
So it's not a primary of the Melchemes Rishus. There's no running away. It's only Melchemes Rishus. Melchemes Nisus, they've all got to come, haven't they?
You mean about the Eras Isha? I don't remember. You could be right. Yeah, it could be. Say it, imagine. You have an army, and I know Baruch Hashem, Tzaddikim and Kedoshim, and Zot the Torah, there's a risk. There are Isha Yefastoya, there are women there that are beautiful, and there's a possibility that a man by these people might be infatuated by the situation. And the Gemara said, Rashi brings the Gemara, you can take it for a wife. The Torah only speaks keneged yetzahora. This is what Rashi brings. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not permit him to have her, he will take her against the halacha. It's interesting. I'm gruesome tzaddikim, and they see a bit of woman here. No, the pshat is. People often say, how could he do that? You know, a person does something else, how can he go off the derech? It's a kasha. There's a yitzah hora. Everybody has a yitzah hora. And Rashi says, asotah makatrik b'shaz ha-sakono. When there's a sakono, the sotah is makatrik. And including in sotah makatrik is the sotah who are yitzah hora, who are malach ha-moves. He works extra hard. The sotah knows that b'shaz sakono, that there's Yidden needs Zechusin to be saved, and therefore the Yetzer Hara works extra hard, and even a tzaddik, even a kodesh, it can happen. And you're a moment off guard. Remember, when you're in war, when you're going to war, it's a totally different scenario than normal life. Any normal person is horrified by the fact to kill someone. Any normal person hates the idea to take a knife and kill someone. You'll be sick forever. Imagine a tzaddik, how horrendous it is for a tzaddik to pick up a sword and go out there and kill. Tells the voice, can you see the Chofetz Chaim with a sword in his hand killing a Rosh Hashanah? The change in the person's psyche, in the change in the person's mind when that happens, is enormous. It's a possibility that there might be a tzaddik doing this because it's an abnormal situation. He may be infatuated. Says the Torah, lo dibra Torah, kolegad yetzahara, ve lo kachta l'chol isha.
Other rabbi, the bigger the tzaddik are, the bigger yetzahara.
And the bigger yetzahara, so it's...
You will be taking that massive yetzahara.
Massive yetzahara. But there's a problem with this pshat. This is one mahalach, which Rashi brings. Kolegad yetzahara means, im lo yistaeno beheta, if we don't give him permission to marry, he'll take her be'isor. There's another mahalach. Another mahalach says a different pshat. It means like this. The Torah knows there is this risk, there is this danger. Even the tzaddik, because of now this moment of danger, right? Says the Torah, I want to help you to overcome the danger. I'm not telling you no, because the kasha is... Same with every other, lots of other things. The Gemara says, Gezel va'aroyos, nafshe shalodom chamdoson, Gezel, and aroyos are two averas which people desire very much. People love to have money. It's a big yetzahara. So gezel is a mudatik yetzahara. So why doesn't the Torah make some arrangements to allow gezel under certain circumstances? Because if you're not, the Torah doesn't make allowances for that. The Torah appears from here, the way Rashi puts it. The Torah is making allowances. Okay, I realize you can't manage with this prohibition, so I'll take it away. I'll allow you. I know you can't manage without eating a piece of chazer. Okay, I'll let you eat it. Why not with other avers? So no, that's not the pshat here. There's still an under pshat in Gantz. The Torah puts a man's in a situation which he can't avoid. He's in Mochama, he goes to war, and he has this Yetzahara. So the Rebbeinu Shloim, I'm going to help you. There's no problem. You can have this Eshet fast time. You can have it. Oh, but there's halachas. How you baby? What do? You have to take it home. According to one shita, you can't touch her until after the Geirus. He has to go home, and she has to sit in his house for a month. Right? She sits, not, he doesn't put her out in the outhouse. He sits her in the living room, where every time he comes in the house, he sees, every time he goes out, he doesn't touch her. First of all, there's no abusing. There's no taking advantage, doing what you like. The Torah doesn't allow that. Bring her home. You've got a captive, bring her home. Bring her into the house. First of all, remove the beautification, remove the beautiful clothes, remove the cosmetics, don't let her have a hairstyle, make her look ugly, or better still, let you have a month of seeing what she really is. You could perhaps involve yourself in dialogue, you can get to know her as a person, what kind of middle she's got. And maybe Takash, she's Taka a gutter medal, a gutter Freud, and maybe in the end Taka, if he takes her at the end of the month, she's Magayeres and she becomes a Get Tzedek, and she's got a din of Mamish Isis Israel. When he takes her, if at the end of the month he keeps her, she is a proper Jewish wife. Because the Torah is giving you it's very hard. Most people are very hard. Go look. Isn't every single Nisoyan very hard? But there is a way around. That's what who says, I'm going to help you. How do I help you? You can have it. Hold on a month. Hold on.
You're putting most people in such a position struggle to control themselves.
I agree. It is a struggle. Life is a struggle. And fighting the Yetzer is a struggle. I'm sorry, we all know making Parnassah is a struggle. Life is a struggle. No one said it was easy. Adam la'omol yunah. Hashem never made it easy. Yeah, you're right. The Gemara goes further. If you remember, the Achlok of Bisham and Bitelel, Mutav la Adam, Shaloi Nivlo. Would it be better not to be born? Achsob Shin Nivlo, Yifashim Bin Mazdom, Yifashim Bin Mazdom. You're right, the Menachem David, you're right. But the Mordechem says you can manage. You say you can't? Oh, yes, you can.
She lives in the same house as his wife.
Yeah, so in those days, two wives you could have. But when he takes her, if and when he takes her after a month, he has a proper Yiddish vrouw. He has all the chiyuvim that he has from a normal Yiddish wife. He has sheiksus, all the dinim, how he has to treat her, how a man is supposed to treat his wife, has to treat her. She's no different in any way.
Does the Torah not recognize this, the marriage of Goy? Because she's an
Ashish. Because there's no. By a goy, there's no din of Ashish.
I thought the fact that they live together is.
That makes them, and the minute they separate, makes them ois. That's their get. As soon as the husband says, I don't want you anymore,
So we take on that her husband gave her a get before she.
No, a goy doesn't need a get. A goy is never married. The fact they live together, there's no issues. So therefore, now, here in war, probably he's dead, or if he's not dead, he's separated from her anyway, and he's lost her. So she's now a penuyo, if you like. She was an HSC, she was married to him, but she's got no dinner, and now she's Megayeres and finished. So after the month, the most likely scenario is he'll realize he managed to overcome his temptation at the moment when it was very high. After a month, it's calmed down. He's got the pastor, he's got his own beautiful Yiddish wife, he's got a lovely home. In the month, he's been realized, he's been thinking, if I take her, what's it going to be like? What's the future? It's for the rest of my life. You know, it's not a game. So therefore, I've got to have the rest of my life. Do I really want her? Dibro Torah keneged Yetzer doesn't mean the Torah like, yeah, you can have it, I'll give in to you. The Torah says, I'll put you in a situation where you'll find it very easy at the end of the month to say, no, thank you, I'm not interested. And if that does come about, then he sends her away. He comes and says, well, come on, I can do what I like. You can't do it, you can't even sell her. Normally, if you have a captive, you can use it, it's goods, it's value, no value. You can't do anything with her. Because of what you've done there, because you took her for that month, then at the end of the month, you say, no, thank you, I don't want you. Set her free. She goes free and she has her own life. You have no authority over her in any way. So what the Torah is doing is not being matir, taking away an issur, because I know you can't manage. The Torah is saying, I know it's very difficult, I'll make it easy for you. The Torah is telling you a way whereby you'll be able to overcome Yetzirah. Do these, follow these instructions, and you can have pass the salary. Wait a bit, okay, you're so infatuated. Wait, hold on, and you'll have it. Okay. Follow on from the Yifas Torah. The Torah comes to another scenario, tells the halacha of if someone has two wives and one he loves more than the other. The Torah uses the word senua. Okay, there's too much to talk about on that there. There isn't time this morning on the senua. But he's got two wives, one he loves more than the other, and the wrong one has the bechaya. As the Torah says, the din is the Bechaya gets Pishanayim, that's the halacha, and Bechaya gets two portions vis-a-vis everybody else's one portion, and you, the husband, must make sure that because he's the son of the, you can't swap round. And that's the halacha then. But the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, gives us a beautiful remez, that's the Gaon Zet in the Psukim, Murtika Ramazim. In here, in the Torah here, in the Parsha, it talks about the Bechaya. And it mentions the word Bechaya, I think, twice. Ha'boya ben ha'bechaya, and it's got ben ha'bechaya. In both times, it's chosavov, there's no vov. Beis, chaf, resh. Here's what the Gaon is a remez to the din of Pishanai. Bechaya, beis is double the value of the letter before it. Aleph is one, beis is two. Chaf is 20, the letter before was Yud, 10. And Reish is 200, the letter before Reish was Kuf, 100. The Torah, in writing the word Bechaya without the Vav, is Merames, Ligdo, Ligdadin of Pishanai. So I'm a remez from the Gaon. Then the Torah comes, the connection between the two passages is if you do take her, if she fast her, you know the end could be you'll end up hating her. Okay. Then the Torah says, you know what? There's a din now called Ben Sodom and Gomorrah. If Nebuch, you have a wife, you fast her, and you don't get rid of her, and in the end you'll hate her, in the end you'll have a problem with the children. Okay. Oh no. But the din of Ben Sodom and Gomorrah, which is not the Gomorrah says, it never ever happens. Machlokes, because they'll say yes to the argument. Okay. But Bekitza, we have a halacha, very difficult to be makayim the halacha of Ben Sodom and Gomorrah, because the conditions under which you can put this boy to death are practically impossible to ever occur. And the way the halacha is father, mother, like I'm so good chef. Okay. But the main point we have here is, the pele that we have here is, we have a boy who's no older than 13 and 3 months. It's for the first 3 months after Bar Mitzvah. So we have a boy who's 13, between 13 and 13 and 3 months, who fulfills all the conditions of Ben Sodom and Gomorrah. He steals from his father, he wants to eat, and his father obviously not going to give him. We're not talking about eating treif, we're not eating kosher, and we're not talking about Avodah Zarah, that doesn't count. The boy wants to have a good time in life, and he wants to indulge himself, and he wants to eat, and he wants to drink, and his father won't give him. And so he steals from his father. He's a zoylel b'zoyle. He steals from his father to buy food, and he steals from his father to have a drink. And the parents try and stop him, but it comes to a situation where they come to the Bezdin and say, "This Bezdin, Benenu Zesere Remoira, this boy, he's a wayward child, Enenu Shemei Bekoileinu, he doesn't listen to our voices, it's the halacha," he gets skin. Zot Rashi, because the next parsha talks about the halacha, straight after this, talks about the halacha of someone who has skila has to be hanged after skila. And so Rashi says, because the semicha sapasha is that if the father doesn't put the child, if they don't take the ben sodomer to the Bezdin, they'll be punished. In the end, he'll end up being a worse Rosha and he'll die. So, and he'll get punished for this Avera's further. Rashi says here like this, Omra Torah, the Torah looks into the future. What's going to happen with this boy? Once he's finished, he's stolen from his father, and he can't steal any more from his father, and he still wants to carry on having a good time, and there's no money, so he'll go out in the street, and he'll become a ganav, he'll become a highwayman, and he'll do people, and in order to be able to get what he wants, he'll kill, and in the end, he'll get put to death as a ritzeach. Therefore, the Torah says, Yomus Zakai Ma'al Yomus Chai. Let him die now when he's comparatively innocent, terribly innocent, but he's Ma'al Yomus Chai. If he carries on this way, he'll become a Rasha and he'll lose all of my poor. Here, Gotcha. It's the famous Kasha. The Torah says here, Yorda Doitel Sevdatu Shalodom. This is what will happen. Let me ask you a question. Today, what Averus has he done? He's stolen? Yeah, did he eat kosher food? Yeah, he stole. Okay, stealing your payback. Chayev, misa for that. So, by Yishmael was sent, and he was dying, and the Malachim tainted, how can you give him water? Enter the Rebbeinu Shalom Basher, who's shot? What is he now? Tzadik or Rosh? Well, Tzadik is a nishkeven. Tzadik means, does he deserve to die by thirst now? No. Later on, the Maizel is shreklech, what Yishmael did to Bnei Yisrael. You don't look to the future. Yom Zakai, you don't look at Yom Zakai, Asher Hushon. So why don't we do the same with this boy here? Now he's okay. Leave him. That's the famous question. There's various ways of answering it, but there's one very, very beautiful point. I think I heard it from Reb Shimon Hof. I think so. We're dealing, Taka, with a very difficult child. His mummy's gone off the rails. We can't cope with it. The parents, everybody, we tried our best to do our best for him, to educate him in the best way, and we're stuck. He has one major drawback, one major obstacle for his future progress. His two words, Einenu Shomea. He doesn't listen. It's clear this boy now is such, in his makeup, in his mind, he's an Einenu Shomea. He does not accept other people's comments. I know better. Yishmael, although he was Nishkin Kishmaka Kint, and Yishmael, according to Rashi Metzachek, he was a naughty boy at the time then, but he was a Shomea. Where do you see he was a Shomea? Interesting. Imagine, as a grubber young, as a koi, imagine a sheikh that's 18, 20, as a build a chayla in the streets. And he comes home one day and his mother says, "You know what, I want you to marry her." What will the sheikh say to his mother? Get lost. I'll choose my wife, it's me. Yishmael, it says, "Vatikach loy imoy ishomer et Mitzrayim." This grubber young Yishmael, his mother suggested to marry this wife. Yes, mummy, and he did it. He's a Shomea. We see that he has in him the koyach of Shomea. He can, not fully, but he has in him the power to be able to accept other people's opinion, accept authority on occasion. There's hope for him. And Taka, it worked out there was hope, because Rashi tells us, the Sophia of Osa Tshuva, Yishmael did Tshuva. So, Kaviyot the Moshe was right, you see? Rashi Hushon. But this guy, Einenu Shomea, we are absolutely clear, Einenu Shomea, he does not listen at all. He's never going to listen, there's no hope for him. Then Enoch Rami, now he doesn't deserve to die, but we're doing him a favor. We're putting him now, we're taking him away from this world in a matzav where he'll be able to have some oil mabar, far more than he would have had if you let him alive. So the difference is the Shomea. If you can be Shomea, we to a certain extent, all of us, have this difficulty sometimes with Shomea. Are we always, absolutely always ready to accept a pasak that we're told that we're not, the Rabbonim come out with a chleis, the Gedolim come out with a pasak, and we, are we? Yes, it's a pasak. This madrega of Shemaya is so vital and important for us in our Hatzlacha to be mevatel our das to the das of those who are better than us, Al Chachomim, Al Manikim. It's a muridic important point, the Shemaya.
If she comes out and Shemaya to the parents, that was an afkamina between.
Yeah, okay, mummy's parents. Yeah, he's not in the parents, and he listened to his mother. Yeah, you have the midah, listen. Okay. We go on with.
Mikdash Hal didn't receive the right shinuch.
Well, that's part of the thing. You're right, and maybe it's not his fault. That's one of the conditions. It's got to be koileinu, mother and father have got to be in perfect harmony with each other as to how to be madrich him, and they were madrich him absolutely perfectly well. It's not the education fault. He didn't go to the wrong school, and he didn't have schlechter parents. You know, we have sometimes, unfortunately, what's called the dysfunctional homes, and the kids are a bit messed up. That wouldn't apply. It's Ovi ve'imo. The Gemara says a whole load of halachas. Ovi ve'imo have got to be exactly in harmony together. So if there's a fault in the chinuch, then it can't apply. So that's one of the reasons why it could never take place. They're absolutely equal, father and mother, and did everything absolutely right in chinuch. Okay. I think, I mean, if they ask this question, if it never ever happened, why did Torah write it? To teach us the point. To give us the point to know we must do our utmost to be in equal in our chinuch to the children, yeah? And to teach us the din of Ein and Shemaya. So for lesson purposes, if not exactly for practical purposes, but it's a very good lesson for us. It's very important for us. Okay, a little bit more. Okay. We have, a little bit further on in the parsha, just before Shlishi, we have two mitzvahs, one following the other. First mitzvah we have is, Lo yech li geve al isha, a woman may not wear man's clothing, Lo yilbash geve simlas isha, and a woman may not wear man's clothing, because to Hashem this is an abomination. The mitzvah of Lo Yilbash, okay? And we know that Yilbash isn't just wearing clothes. It's activities which are normally, specifically in the men's role, women must not do. Lamaisa, the Gemara tells us, Isha mustn't carry clay zion, a woman mustn't go to war, mustn't have, because it's not the derech for her to carry weapons. Okay, and there's halachas for men, there's certain things men mustn't do because that's what women only do, and it's not to do with clothing. There's not anymore by Yilbash. Rashi says, interesting, it's interesting Rashi to bring this shitter. Rashi says he only does it kedei la'osro toira elon levush ha'mevi lidei toyeva, that by a man dressing up as a woman, he eats because he wants to mix with the women and the devil comes on aveira. Going to war, all the other things which an ish is not allowed to do, it's nothing to do with being together. So the other day, there's a second day in the Gemara, which takes the halacha, and Ablezer and Yaakov says, it's nothing to do with leading to Zanus. Any activity, like we said, weapons, whatever, a man to pull out the white hair from the black, any activity which is specific for a man, a woman mustn't do, and vice versa. So it's not necessarily to do with Zanus. But then the pasuk carries on with the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKeh. Okay? And Shimshon Vol Hirsch wants to make a smichas, that's in Mahalach, in the Chumash Bechlal, it goes right through, the connection between these two mitzvahs. And he says like this. The Torah is setting up the blueprint. Klal Yisrael are getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now it's Moshe Rabbeinu and Devarim are getting there. Very soon, Klal Yisrael are going into Eretz Yisrael and setting themselves up as a nation in their homeland in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore it's very important that we sort it right. We lay down the right foundations. The first foundation that we need is Ish and Isha. There has to be the role of the male and the role of the female. There's a father and there's the mother. This idea that the Gornik of some equality of sexes is so stupid, because we're equal, that is equality. Man has a role and the woman has a role, and they must not swap. They must not be taken out of kilter and made wrong. A man mustn't wear women's clothes, women must wear man's clothes. It's because it doesn't just mean clothes. A woman has to do what her tafkid is, and a man has to do what his tafkid is. And that makes, that is the blueprint for, let's start at home, a successful home, a successful marriage is, the man has his area, the woman has her area. Together they work to build a home, and if man and if husband and wife do the right things each individually and together, and they now have children, there's a very good chance they will bring up children in the Derech, which will, they'll be future good people. So for society to succeed well, people stick their own role, the men and the women, not to switch. The most important tafkid of the isha is to have children. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave on a Marishan right away the mitzvah of to have children. Plural vote, right? There has to be children. And that's the whole purpose of the world. So the woman has the children. So her role in life, her major role in life is motherhood, to be a mother. In order to demonstrate that to us, very clearly, the Torah gives us the mitzvah of Kantzipur, of Shiloh HaKan. Now, there isn't time to go into the halachos of Shiloh HaKan, and there's so many, and protim, etc. But basically, all right? Basically, you go on the road, and you happen to see a bird's nest. So it's mina hefka, it's hefka. It's a kosher bird, and it's hefka, right? And you happen to see it. You didn't plan? Okay. It's not yours, it's not Yenem's. It's not in Yenem's garden, it's by Derek. Okay. And you see a mother, a bird, sitting on, either sitting on chicks to hatch them, or sitting with her fledglings who have just been born, you're looking after them. Mother, not father. If it's a male bird, I don't know how you can tell, but if you're a bucky in the birds, and you see it's a male bird, there's no din at all, go on and do what you like. It's a mother bird. The Torah says, L'sikach ha'em ala bonim. Now, generally, the understanding of people is you want to take their heads, you want to take the babies, it's hefka, there's no mom and shiloh, you're not stealing, but you can't take them while they're on the mother. That's how people learn the basic outline of the mitzvah. So you want the eggs, you can't take the eggs. First, shalechka shalcha sa'im, send the mother away, then you can take the eggs. Okay. Nishtalot pashut. Because even if you've got no intention, you don't want the eggs. What do I want with a couple of pigeons' eggs? What do I want them for? What do I want a baby pigeon? Well, I don't want it. There's a mitzvah of shalech to shalech say. There's a mitzvah to go up to the nest. I'm not interested in birds of garnished, but I see a bird's nest there. I walk over to the nest and I say, there's the bracha to make. And be very careful before you make the bracha that all the halachas are correct. I had a miser not very long ago. I had a shayla. Is it shalach hakein? And I asked the shayla. I was told the rov stay away. Is it shayla brocha? Okay. But anyway, a case where there's a genuine chiyuv of shalach hakein. You walk along. You see the bird. And you go to hinamachum zulkayim. And you, how do you send it away? You either kick or bang the stick on the tree, and it flies away. You makayim the mitzvah shalach hakein. Then go home. Pardon? I think so. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what the bracha is. Yeah. Mitzvah, nothing to do with whether you want. If you want the eggs, I've had it. If you take the eggs without sending the mother away, then you've been over like that. You can't malchus. But garnished. So what's this mitzvah? What's for a mycid dos? What happened? Let's work it out. Let's be realistic. You walk along, you see the mother, and you shoo. We kind of mitzvah, and then you go home. What will happen? Come on. 2 minutes later, the bird will come back. Yeah? That's what the Torah wants. The Torah shows you a tiny little bird worth pennies. It's got no standing whatsoever. She's doing motherhood. She, not he. She is a mother now. She's a mother, and the Torah puts around her a special heavenly protection. She has to be allowed to continue in her motherhood. If you take these eggs away now, tomorrow she'll lay more eggs, or next week, or whenever her next time to lay eggs. But you have, by your action, someone asked me this question, what's the mile of doing it there? The action, when you do an act, it has an impression on you. I have physically picked up a mother bird and sent her away, because by doing this I have now cemented in my mind the enormous importance of the woman, of the female species, of the woman in my life, in the world of motherhood. That's what the Torah is showing us, in order, not necessarily so worried about saving a bird. If it's a male bird, you can take it. No, what the Torah wants is for you to learn. It's a continuation of Yekli Gever Al Isha. Following on from there, this is the lesson that we have to learn from Shlomo HaKein, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to respect and appreciate the role of the woman in Yiddishkeit, in the motherhood. That is her enormous important role, and we have to get that clearly into our minds and appreciate it and understand that this loyer clever, this is the basis upon which a successful Klal Yisrael can be built.